Hello, this is the sixth and last episode of my podcast series that I am doing about my mindful traveling in Thailand and mostly in Laos for all April, and is the last because the day after tomorrow the time has come to catch my flight from Bangkok in order to return back to London, since April is over. And we were left in the night that the next day I had a very full program, and I was looking forward for it. I was in Luang Prabang, and that day, the day that came after the last episode, was the most important, since I had to do many kilometers and visit maybe the most important places around Luang Prabang. So I put an alarm in the morning in order to, on the one hand, be relaxed, but on the other hand, have time in order to do what I wanted. However, still, I wasn't sure if it would be possible, and I will explain why. I had to go to two different places, the one where the Pakou Caves, which are some caves on the Mekong River, where there are many Buddha statues inside of them, hundreds of them, and they are also in the dark, so they are very impressive. On the other hand, also I had to go to the famous Kwangsi waterfalls, where everyone thinks that they are really beautiful. I had heard the best of words about them, and I couldn't leave Luang Prabang without going to them, as the next day I would leave Luang Prabang. The problem was that these two sites, the one was 30 kilometers on the one side of Luang Prabang, and the other was 30 kilometers on the other side of Luang Prabang, which means that in order to reach them both, I had to do no less than 120 kilometers, because I had to do 30 to go to the Pakou Caves, 30 to return to Luang Prabang, 30 to go again to the Kwangsi waterfalls, and another 30 in order to return. And imagine that these roads are not roads like you know, of the best quality, or they are not straight or flat or with the best quality of road surface. And I was afraid, on the other hand, that maybe the second one that I want to go will close and I wouldn't have enough time. Anyway, I woke up, I drank this mixture of powders that I have described in all the episodes that I drink every morning, that have turmeric, ginger, ginseng, and Ceylon cinnamon, which I drink together with a lemon or with a lime. And then I meditated and drank quickly a coffee and left the hotel in order to go and rent a motorbike. So I went to the center, which was like 10 to 15 minutes by walk. And I rented a motorbike as quickly as possible, because I knew the time was pressing, and I started, after putting fuel of course, I started going towards the Pakou Caves, which are on the northern side of Luang Prabang. So I took the road, and for most of the time, in the beginning actually, the first kilometers weren't so interesting, as I was passing from small towns and there were like only shops and things like that. But after 15 to 20 kilometers, the road started becoming more natural. You wouldn't see a lot of people and you would see mostly nature. And especially for the last 10 kilometers, the road was going next to the Mekong River, where I had some amazing views. The river was much more impressive than inside the city, and there was also in a place was also a green island, which was really beautiful. The water was calm. Of course, like every day that I'm here in Southeast Asia, the temperature is very high, is almost 40 degrees. But I have managed to live with that, although it is tiring. But anyway, so I continued, and the last kilometers were really impressive, although I wasn't stopping all the time for photos, because I knew that the time was pressurizing me. And at last, I did about more than 45 minutes to do these 30 kilometers, and I arrived to the Pakou Caves, that are in a really amazing location, actually. on the Mekong River and actually where the Mekong River and the Namu River are meeting. And this is a very impressive location. It's really beautiful. You could see also mountains behind. The river is very, very beautiful there. And in order to go to the caves, you have to take a boat and pass on the other side, on the western side of the Mekong. So I paid the ticket. There weren't so many. There were just a few people there. I paid the ticket. And then I went down to the river after passing from Paku, this beautiful village, I can say, with a very nice landscape. I got inside the boat. The area, as I said, was really impressive and I liked it already. And we passed on the other side where the Paku caves were. First of all was the lower cave, which wasn't a big cave, was just an opening on the rock, but still there were too many Buddha statues. It wasn't bad. On the other hand, there were many children there that were trying, you know, to asking me for money, trying to show me something to impress me, and then ask me to give them a tip and things like that. But these are pretty much standard, and it's not the best thing to give in these circumstances, because this is not advised, since the children are learning to beg for money and live in that way. Anyway, this wasn't a big cave, so I saw it quickly, and I had in my mind anyway to not waste a lot of time. And then I continued where there were a lot of stairs. You had to go much upwards because there was the upper cave. As I said, it was extremely hot, very few people were there, but I walked up the stairs. I walked for about 10 minutes going up, and I reached the upper cave, which was definitely nicer. It was bigger than the other, and you could go inside. Once again, see a lot of statues, and as you were continuing, there were also more statues in a, let's say, room that was totally dark, apart from a candle that was there. But this was making a very mystical atmosphere, and I enjoyed it. I have seen other caves as well. This was nice. I also used the torch of my phone in order to see better. It was a beautiful cave, this together with the other, as I said, in a nice location. Not something extremely impressive, is definitely not among the best things I have seen here in Asia in general, but and in Laos, but it was a nice trip, in a nice route, and I think that I had to go there. I couldn't miss it, even though, as I said, it's not the best thing that I could see. So I returned back, I went quickly, and I entered once again the boat, where we passed on the other side, fortunately without wasting much time. I also, of course, took photos of the area, which, as I said, was impressive, more impressive than the caves. And I returned back to my motorbike in order to go and do another 60 kilometers in order to see the Kuangxi waterfalls. The thing is that according to Google Maps, the waterfalls were about to close at 5 o'clock, but I was hoping that this was just a random time, and it wasn't the official time, so I would have chances. Anyway, I knew that maybe I was taking a risk, another 30 kilometers after going to Luang Prabang, and maybe I find them closed. But I knew also that the route would be nice. I had heard something like that, so I said, let's take the risk. I don't have anything else to do anyway, so let's go there, and even if the waterfalls are closed, I will have enjoyed the route. So I continued, I did the 30 kilometers I passed from inside Luang Prabang, and then I continued in order to go to the waterfalls for another 30 kilometers. And indeed, this route was one of the best routes I have done. It was a route, let's say, inside hills, so you were going up and down, But in the middle of them you could see once again, as always, many rice fields, many fields in general. Many times I was passing once again from next to the Mekong, and the Mekong was looking astonishing once well. It was full of countryside. I was passing from inside villages, and this route was indeed very, very impressive, full of amazing limestones, and that was a great experience. I was really happy, and when I saw this, I thought that okay, even if I, as I said, even if the waterfalls are closed, I enjoyed this at least. So I arrived on the waterfalls, and fortunately the door looked open, so I went inside. And it was an extremely nice natural area, and I was hoping that I was thinking that maybe I should have arrived. That would be great if I had arrived earlier, because even if they don't close, I didn't have more than 1 hour and a half until it gets totally dark. And apart from that, it's not only that it gets dark in the waterfalls, but the route back would be very hard with a motorbike and with no lights at all. So I continued inside. It was a forest with very elder trees, which are something that I like very much. It was like a jungle in the beginning, immediately as we were entering this area. And after some time, about 5 minutes of walk, I reached the lower pools of the waterfall, where from the beginning were very impressive, as the water was that turquoise color, and it was falling so nicely. It was flowing so nicely from above. As I said, the color was amazing. The flowing water was magnificent. Looking at it this way, the sound was very relaxing. And I continued walking upwards, where there several different floors, let's say, where there is a pool, and on the upper floor there is another pool where the water passes and goes down to the next one. So I passed several of them. There weren't people there once again because it was late. I only saw 5-6 tourists that were swimming there. At least that was something. I wasn't the only one. That was making me optimistic that I have some time. And I continued upwards, being very, very impressed and very grateful that I managed to find it open and I witnessed this amazing waterfall. And when I continued on the upper floors, let's say, I reached at some point a place where the waterfall was becoming very, very high. The water was coming from very, very high, and this was a very, very, very impressive view of the cataract. I couldn't stop watching it. I couldn't stop how huge it was. I was looking at it with awe. And although I knew I didn't have a lot of time until it gets dark, I couldn't go away. So I was trying to leave, and I was returning back. And I was going away, but something was calling me back to look at it once more. And this happened for two, three different times. And I wanted also to go because I cherished very much to swim, even for a while, in these waters. So I left at some point, and I went in a pool 2-3 floors lower than this. Nobody was there, and actually the tourists that I had seen previously also weren't there. By the way, when I reached this high point where the waterfall was very high, I knew, I had read it also, but I saw signs that you could continue the hiking for more, and I knew that it was even more beautiful. But unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, and this was one of the times that I felt very sad that I had to go and I wouldn't continue hiking, because I knew that something amazing was close to me, but I knew that this wasn't possible. So I just returned back, and everybody had gone. I only saw a few children that were going to fish. Nobody else was there, and it was easy. I changed clothes, nobody was there, and I entered inside where the water was cool, and that's exactly what I wanted after this so much sun that I had got this day. And I even noticed that my skin had been burned. I swam there for some time. I took also some photos. I enjoyed so much the water. It was so clean and it was so beautiful, this color. It was so nice. It was, I can say this waterfall is maybe surely one of the most beautiful natural places I have ever seen in my life. It was so impressive, and especially coming from the fact that I wasn't sure that I would be able to witness it, that was even better, because I was afraid that it would be closed. So at around 6:30, where the sun had started setting, I left, because as I said, I wanted also to have a little light at least for half of my way back, in order to make it easier, because from other experiences and here in Laos, I know how hard it is to drive inside the mountains with a small motorbike that not even the lights are powerful. And I also wouldn't have a problem, of course, to have some light in order to see these amazing landscapes as I was coming back. And this is what I did. Then things worked well. For half of the road it was dark, but okay, I showed some patience. I was happy anyway that I had seen all these things. I was surely, you know, the last person that left these waterfalls that day, because when I went out, all the shops were closed around this place. Also in the parking it was only my motorbike. And this was the nice thing that has happened to me a lot of times, that I go to places and sometimes it's a coincidence, some other times it's because it's late, but in any case I managed to have this waterfall all by myself for like half an hour, 45 minutes, which is something amazing, considering that we are talking about a really wonderful place, something that is you can't easily find. So anyway, I returned back, and as I was usually doing, I went straight to the night market. The time was around, I think it was like 7:30 when I returned back, 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And I had to return the motorbike the next day, by the way. So I didn't need to, because I took it for 24 hours. Therefore, I went just to the night market, and I took some... I took two fruit juices, as I most of afternoons I was doing. The time was around, as I said, 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And after drinking the juices, I returned to the hotel in order to book a bus from my hotel, because the next day I would go to Vang Vieng. It was the last day then for me in Luang Prabang, and that's why it was important for me to see also the waterfall. And everything was going according to plan anyway. I returned back, I booked the bus ticket, and then I left the motorbike because I wanted also to walk a little bit. The town wasn't very far. So I just went again in order to eat, and then I returned back because I wanted to... I didn't have anything else to do. I had... outside, I also had some work, like many nights, so I returned back, and I also prepared my things for the trip of the next day. The next day I woke up in order to do a checkout, and I also had around 1 hour and a half, around 2 hours, before my bus would leave for Vang Vieng. The bus, the minibus actually, would take me, would pick me from the hotel. Since I had time, I didn't directly go to return the motorbike, but I had seen a temple that looked nice from far away, and I hadn't managed to go because it was a bit outside, not very far though. So I took the motorbike for the last hours that I had, and went there, which this vat was called Vat Phong Phao. This one was a temple on a hill next to Nam Can River, and it had a nice view of the city, while you could also, it looked very nice when you were looking at it from the city. When I went there were just only a few monks around. I took a few photos, and then I returned back since I still had a little time. I went a little bit around the central area. This was the last moments in Luang Prabang, this very, very beautiful city. And I went around, I was looking once again at the Nam Can River, then the Mekong River, since, as I said, Luang Prabang is where Mekong River and Nam Can River meet. And I was looking once again at the architecture. I was admiring the beauty of the city, the French architecture, the Lao architecture that are so amazingly combined in this city. Everything was calm. I was looking at the so many temples that are in this area, that I had enjoyed so much going in and out of them all these days, and the atmosphere it is creating. And I was drinking for these last moments Luang Prabang with my eyes. Then I returned the motorbike, and I had about half an hour to 45 minutes more, so I went and I drank a coffee. And then I left. I went to the hotel where we took the minibus. The minibus is a small bus that can take up to around 12 people, 10 to 12 people at most, and it's generally used many times, especially for tourists, in order to. It has also air conditioning, and it's supposed to be a better method of travel than taking the local bus, and the prices are okay most of the times. In this bus, we knew that it would take us to Vang Vieng more than 4 hours, but I knew that the route would be amazing, and that's what it was indeed, one more time, which is the most of the times, because Laos, due to the fact that it's an underdeveloped country, and there are a lot of, you know, infrastructure and things like that. More or less everywhere you go, you experience a very natural countryside, and apart from that, many places are very impressive, and this is what it was happening with Vang Vieng as well, at the route to Vang Vieng. Of course, this was taking a lot of time to go, because the roads, as I said, they are not the best roads, while they are not. You are passing all the times from villages and from mountains. You have to turn. It has turns and things like that. Also, as far as I know, there is a big road constructed at the moment by the Chinese together with a train line, and this is supposed to change a lot the landscape of Laos and generally the country. At some point, by the way that we were traveling with this minivan, something seemed to have happened. We heard all a grook and a movement of the minivan, and for some time the driver started going with the first gear. It seemed like the minivan had a problem, and we had like more than 70 more kilometers in order to arrive. And the thing is that nobody understood what happened, but he was going very slowly for long, and we were afraid that maybe we stay there and we won't know how we will end in Vang Vieng, or even if we continue, this might take us another 4 or 5 hours, because he was going like 20 kilometers per hour for some time. But I didn't understand at all what happened, but after like 20 minutes, half an hour, the minivan started again going normally. So fortunately, at some point, we managed to arrive in Vang Vieng. It was a bit dark. The time we left at 2 o'clock, and we arrived there at around 7 o'clock or something. And imagine that we are talking about 180 kilometers, just that. When I arrived, of course, I went straight to the hotel that I had picked. During the trip, whenever I had signal, I was looking at Booking and Agoda, what are the best hotels that look appropriate for me. And I didn't book any, as most of the times I do, because as I said, if you go and just walk in, you have better. There are better prices compared to booking from the website, from a website like Booking or Agoda, because there is a fee that goes to these websites too. Anyway, when I walked for not more than 10 minutes, and I passed also from a small wooden bridge, because the hotel, the guest house actually was in a small island, let's say, that you would pass from a small stream. That's why there were a few bridges next to each other. Anyway, I arrived at the hotel and I met immediately with the two owners. First one was an Englishman, Nick, and the other one was a Kiwi, Jack. And immediately these people looked very kind. They were more than 50 years old, but they looked very young in the mentality. They immediately grabbed my attention because they were very helpful. Very kind, and I understood that they really loved Wang Vieng. Nick immediately told me that he has been living in Wang Vieng for more than 15 years, and this is his favorite place in the world, although he had traveled to more than 100 countries, and that's why he picked to live there and have a guest house. He also told me that I couldn't see it because it was dark, but when you were looking, the view from the hotel even was amazing, and he was calling the opposite side, the side that we could look, he was calling it heaven. I had also heard that Wang Vieng is very, very beautiful and has an amazing countryside. But I had to wait for the next day in order to understand for sure. So this night, then I left from the hotel, I went a little bit around the town. The town didn't have by itself anything interesting to see as a town, but it had a very good vibe. The bars and the restaurants were very beautiful. There were many tourists, but it was a nice atmosphere. Everything was okay, people were having fun, it was a lively town, definitely, and this night it was nice to walk around and stay in some bars as well, walk around the night market. As I said, it was a lively town, and at some point I had to return back. As I said, I had got an idea, and then I wanted to relax in order for the next morning to be ready and explore. When I woke up the next morning, I meditated, drank my what I drink, these powders, and got out. I went down from my room, and indeed, this is when I first saw this amazing view that Nick was talking about, and indeed understood that there are many nice places that I could visit. So I asked the guys where it would be nice to go. One place, they told me first, because it wasn't very early, they told me that maybe that day I could just go and hike, and they showed me a way that I could go and then reach a viewpoint as well. I thought about it, and then I decided I'd better go hire a motorbike and go a little further away to some places that would be of much interest, because I knew that there are some, they call them blue lagoons in Wang Vieng, and there are some places that most of the times are next to to caves, and they are streams of water, like small lakes, where the water is extremely clean and has a very nice color. They were supposed to have 6 lagoons in general, but I didn't know exactly where they were or to where to go in order to find each one and which ones were the best. So I started going towards this direction. I went then, of course, I rented a motorbike in order to go there, and I crossed the river that passes from Wang Vieng, which is called the Nam Song River. I had to go on the go west in order to reach the caves and the blue lagoons. But as I said, I didn't know exactly what I was chasing. I knew that I had to go to a lagoon, and I have heard that there were many lagoons. Immediately after passing the river and crossing the river and going on the other side, the landscape was becoming really, really, really amazing, and it was so close to Vang Vieng that was impressive. Immediately there was Vang Vieng is somehow a flat area where there are a lot of plantations also and rice fields and so on. But all around it, although it is very flat, all around it you can see limestone cliffs. It's full of limestone cliffs and mountains, which makes it an amazing landscape wherever you go. And these cliffs are so impressive. And also there are a lot of viewpoints in them where they have amazing view, as well as cave formations and blue lagoons, etc. So I started going there with a motorbike, as I said, without knowing exactly what I wanted to find. And immediately, very quickly, I saw a sign that was talking about a lagoon and a cave. I went there and I asked there, because you have to also pay a ticket, like 10,000 kip, €1 when I reached it. And I asked and they told me that there is a lagoon there, together with a cave, but this wasn't the Blue Lagoon, it was just another one. I walked there. I had to walk for like 10 minutes in the fields where I could admire behind them the mountains in an amazing landscape, as I said. So I reached the place where there was a small lagoon there. Once again, I just saw two people in there. It was empty, nobody was there, and you could just also go to this small lake and swim, and next to it was a cave. So I entered the cave, and very quickly I got in total darkness. The only way to walk there was by turning on the torch in my mobile phone, and I walked for, I think, 100 meters or something in total darkness. And when it was very interesting that when I would turn off the torch, it would get totally dark, of course, and you couldn't also hear any sound because I was deep in the cave. After I got out, I also wore my swimsuit. There was a place there to change, and I entered the lagoon, and there was also a girl there that we chatted for a while. And she mentioned that previous day she had gone to the Blue Lagoon number 5, which is a bit far away, but she said it is nice because there aren't a lot of people and so on. So she told me Lagoon number 5. I thought that maybe this is the place that I should go first, the Lagoon number 5, which was far away and would be the most interesting. After swimming a little bit there, it wasn't a big lagoon anyway, I returned to the motorbike and I took it and I continued my way. Soon I started seeing several signs that were saying Blue Lagoon 3 is there, Blue Lagoon 1 is there, where is Blue Lagoon 5, viewpoint, cave. There were several signs. So I followed the signs for Blue Lagoon 5. And soon the road became in a very very bad surface, so it was hard to drive there. And I also saw the reviews, many other reviews that were saying something similar. Also, this road was leading to Blue Lagoon number 3, but wasn't so further away. So I kept driving and driving, and it was a hard drive because it was only rocks and soil, and the motorbike was going up and down all the time, and it was very tiring. But I had said that I will go to number 5, so I wouldn't change my mind. So I was going and going, and after some point there were no signs. After I passed the signs of the Blue Lagoon number 3, which definitely was more popular, and I kept going. I passed from several villages. I think it took me around 45 minutes driving in this road in order to reach Blue Lagoon number 5. Needless to say, of course, that all the landscape was amazing, was fantastic, and I was really enjoying it, but on the other hand, it was difficult to drive, and this is what I wasn't enjoying. And at some point I passed another village where I understood that the Blue Lagoon 5 is close to there. And after driving next to a steep mountain, right next to it, I was so close that the sun was hidden behind it, although the time was like 3:30, 4 o'clock. But I was next to the mountain, I was very far away because there was nobody there. And at some point I saw a sign saying Blue Lagoon 5 after driving and driving, but I didn't see something exactly there, so I continued because I thought that the lagoon was a little further away and that was just a sign that I am approaching. And after I think 5 kilometers or something, I reached a place that a policeman appeared that was sitting next to other people and told me to stop and return back. When I asked what is there, he didn't reply and he just asked me where I was going, and I said to Blue Lagoon 5, where he told me that I had to go back and find it. And I returned back to the sign because I understood that it was there, and I drove a little bit inside this road that was there, and I found the lagoon. But this is what I thought. Actually, I found it. The thing is that when I went to the lagoon, nobody was swimming. But the most important thing is that it looked dirty, and the water didn't look nice at all there, and to be honest, I felt very disappointed because I was hoping that a faraway lagoon with not people at all would be a wonderful experience. Next to it was a small restaurant, and there were some people, there were a few tourists, 4 or 5 people eating something, and there were 2 Lao people that maybe were there to check the lagoon, to secure the lagoon, maybe ask for the ticket and so on. When I found them, I expressed that I was disappointed, and then the guy said something similar, that the lagoon didn't look nice at all, and they didn't even swim in there anyway. So instead of calling it Blue Lagoon, we were calling it Dirty Lagoon. I expressed also that I was disappointed, and since I didn't want to stay there anymore and I didn't have a lot of time, as always, I left and I returned back with the purpose of reaching Blue Lagoon 3, which, as I said, I almost passed close to it. It was on my way to there. When I went to Blue Lagoon 3, it wasn't difficult to find it, and I arrived there at around, it must be 4:30 or something. When I arrived there, there were several people, but not too many. But the lagoon was looking really nice. It had the blue waters, they looked very clean, and around 20 to 30 people were swimming or playing in there or drinking coffee, both Lao and foreigners. And this looked really nice, so I immediately jumped in the water, and I enjoyed its coolness, because once again all day I was in the sun. And then I stayed there for some time, and then it was saying that there is a cave next to there. So when I tried to reach the cave, I noticed that I started climbing some rocks. I had to walk further away from the lagoon, and then I started climbing some rocks to realize after some point that I wasn't sure if I had taken the right way. There was nobody there once more, and I wasn't sure that I had taken the right way, while at the same time I didn't know how exactly to reach it, and the climbing was becoming dangerous, And not only that, I didn't know if I continued and continued. It was, the climb was so steep that I didn't know that if I went to the wrong direction, I wouldn't even be able to return back. So I preferred that to return back and not waste time trying there to find the way and who knows what happens. So I returned back. I fell on the water once more, and didn't stay for a lot, and went out in order to hoping that even though it was late, I would be able to find to go to visit to another place, because in the in between I had seen other caves and so on, and several viewpoints as well. I continued, and the next thing that I found was a cave that was called the Golden Flower Cave. I went on the road, on the side road that was leading there, and once again was a very beautiful landscape, like everywhere I was going, and there were also many women that were planting several crops or were gathering, and also there were several children. On the background, of course, were the impressive limestone cliffs that I so much like and I enjoy. But in the meantime, the sun was about to set, so I didn't have a lot of time. So I continued and I reached the cave. Of course, nobody was there, not even the person asking for tickets. And I went to this cave, which I realized that was called Golden Flower because of the formations of the rocks inside it. It was a small cave anyway, and by flowers I assume they mean the stalactites. Anyway, I saw this as well. It wasn't something amazing, but at least I was hoping that it would be something better by the name, by calling it Golden Flower. Anyway, I saw also this cave, and then I returned back, and I was thinking that if I find anything open and is not closed, I will go, or else I will head back. I reached a viewpoint, but I saw later on, I reached a viewpoint, but I saw that the people were coming down, and when I asked there, they told me that it was closing. The time was 5:30 to 6 o'clock, and they had to close, so they told me to go the next day. From what I said before, also, this is the thing about Vang Vieng, which I had understood by that time, that there are hundreds of caves, too many viewpoints, and in general, many interesting things to explore there in Vang Vieng, and this is something that I love to do. And I knew that I would just have to stay 3 nights in Vang Vieng, unfortunately, because I had to go. And I understood that I wished I could have stayed much more. You could go kayaking there, you could go climbing. There are so many lagoons to swim, you can explore caves and caves. And they are also approachable, they are not even far from Vang Vieng, which makes it, in my opinion, maybe the most beautiful city from all I have seen in, not as a city itself actually, but as everything that is combined in the with the surroundings as well. And since I didn't find this viewpoint, I also checked some the signs once more that I would see in order to know what to plan, also what I would do the next day. Since the sun was setting, I headed back to Vang Vieng, where, by the way, I liked this route so much, many parts of the route especially, that I liked so much driving in there that I was going back and forth only to enjoy driving in this way. And in the last kilometers also the road was fine, it wasn't like when I was going to the Blue Lagoon, so it was easy to drive as I was approaching the city, and the landscape was impressing me, and it was difficult for me not to look at it. And I reached the town at some point. Of course I was a bit tired after all of these things, because I did them also very quickly. And I was pretty dirty as well with all this and that. So I just returned to the hotel and I had a shower with my motorbike. And since I had to return it that same day, I took it again and I returned it back. And then for the rest of the night, I just went around in some bars and I enjoyed the atmosphere that I was also enjoying the previous night, but I was full this time because of all the beautiful things I had seen. By the way, in one bar I found the owner Nick. It's not a big town, so I found this owner of the guest house, and in there I started telling them that I went to the Blue Lagoon number 5, only to find out that not many people had gone there, and that was impressive because I wouldn't imagine that I went to a place that even the locals hadn't ever been. And I realized also that many people were surprised when I told them that the policeman told me that I'm not allowed to continue and go further. So the barman was impressed, the Nick was impressed, another girl that was there was also impressed about what happened. And other people, when I mentioned this, they gathered around me and started asking me questions. And they said that maybe this happened because they assumed that this had to do with some unexplored ordnance, because as I have said, in Laos there are still, from the war with the Americans, there are still a lot of bombs hidden on the ground that haven't exploded, and this is a cause for many accidents in Laos. So they are keeping exploring areas and in order to detonate these bombs and make the area safe for people. So they thought that maybe that's why they didn't let me go there, because there was an area that they thought there was unexplored ordnance. This was really, really impressive and funny to know, but anyway, unfortunately, also we discussed with Nick, and I was the only one to ever tell him that the Blue Lagoon isn't nice, because it seems that people were trying to justify their effort that to go there, because as I said, it's tiring, so they didn't want to admit that it wasn't something nice, and everyone was saying, oh yeah, I went to Blue Lagoon 5 and this was amazing, because not many people wanted it, but I was the only one that I looked sincere to him. And I liked Nick's company very much, and I liked him as a character, because he was an open-hearted person that I think was offending and was saying straight whatever he believed, even if some people liked him or not. And this is something that I respect in people, and I immediately expressed that to Nick. This is what I felt about him. Then, as I said, I was going I went to a few bars that night, and then I returned to the hotel. I think it was like 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, by the way, everything closes in Vang Vieng. This is the law, so you can't be out after 12 o'clock, because there's nowhere to go, apart from one exception. That night, after I had returned back, at some point Nick also returned, and I met him there, and as we talked for a while, he told me that there is only one place that is open after 12 o'clock, and since I wanted to really experience Vang Vieng and understand really the culture behind the touristic image of the city, he told me that he would take me there in order to see that, and that would be a nice experience. So I said, of course, I'm coming with you and let's go there together. And we went in this place that was the only place in Vang Vieng that was open for 24 hours. It never closed, and that was the only one. So we stood there for a long time. We had an amazing time. He's an amazing personality, and we had a lot of fun. And I learned a lot of things from him about the culture of Wang Vieng, and about his beliefs, about Wang Vieng in general, about Southeast Asia. He had a lot of experiences. He had seen a lot of things, and I was definitely enjoying his company and learning from him. Another interesting thing is that in this place there were also a lot of lady boys, because at night there wasn't any other place that people could gather, so it was a gathering of everyone that was working or awake at that point. So there were also a lot of lady boys, where I also found that even though they looked very female, most of them hadn't even done an operation, so most of them had male genitals. Although you couldn't understand it in the first place, but this is what Nick explained to me. So this was a very nice night for me, and a very different one, as you can't easily find the tourists that know this place, although it wasn't a secret place. But from what I have understood, not many people know that there is a place that is open after 12 o'clock in Wang Vieng. So I saw the night of Wang Vieng, I saw the different things that are happening, I saw the locals, and so on. And the next day, although I had slept late, I managed to wake up at a normal time, and I wasn't sure that I would have the time once again to take a motorbike and explore like the previous day, but I managed it. I woke up, I did my standard things, I drank a coffee and left as quickly as possible in order to rent the motorbike again. And I rented a motorbike, and this time first I started and went to a cave that is nearby the center of Wang Vieng, very nearby. It is no more than 3 kilometers, 2.5. There is a cave there and a lagoon. This is a bit south, and the cave is called the Tam Chang. So, and has also, in order to reach it, you have to cross a very nice yellow bridge, which is a standard photo from Wang Vieng. I went there, I saw a lagoon, but there were too many people, because it was Sunday and was also close to the city, and right up from Nam Song River. In this lagoon I didn't swim, as I said, because there were a lot of people, so I didn't like now, and still I wanted to go to other places. But I went to the cave that is there, and you had to climb a lot of stairs once more, which is very tiring. But the cave was very organized. It was big, you could walk inside there for long, but you could easily walk. There were stairs, there was cement in order to walk more easily, there were lights, there were colorful lights sometimes, and it was an impressive cave. I really liked it, and it was beautiful. There were other people there, of course. And this cave was, as I said, big and very well organized, so everyone could easily walk in there and see it and all, with no danger or anything. And then I went down, I roamed a little bit around. Once again, the landscape there was amazing. It was right down from the, it was the beginning of the mountain, that's where the cave was also, and that's why we had to climb a lot of stairs, because the cave was in the mountain. And then I took the motorbike, and I also left from there, because I thought that I had to go to the most famous lagoon, which is the lagoon number one, that I didn't go the previous day. When I went to lagoon number one, it was also full of people, because this is the most popular lagoon, and it was also Sunday. There's also a cave where you also had to climb a lot of stairs, even more than the previous one, and it wasn't an easy climb as well, because it wasn't exactly stairs, you were climbing from a rock to rock, actually. And there were only some bamboo or some ropes on the side for you to hold on to. I entered the cave, which this cave had below there it had a very huge a very big opening, and there was a Buddha statue which looked nice inside the cave. As far as I understood, there were some arrows that you could continue for long, but after some point, after following the arrows, I reached a point once again that looked very dark, and I wasn't even sure if it's possible to climb from there. And also nobody was going there, and I didn't know exactly how you should handle this. So I returned back and went down the stairs. I put my swimsuit, and also this blue lagoon there was had fantastic color, but there were also too many people. But I had to swim in this because I was feeling very hot. I was sweating and sweating. Therefore, I jumped inside for some moments, and I was refreshed because the water was also cool, and I think was in the exact temperature that I would like it to be. So it was really enjoyable. And from there, I knew that I needed to go to a viewpoint, at least one, because the next day I would go. I would leave Bang Vieng, and I couldn't leave without going to at least one viewpoint. I knew that, as I said, there are too many viewpoints, I couldn't go to all of them, but I decided to go to the most famous one that had also a 360 degrees you could see around. When I went, I reached this. This was on the way back from the Blue Lagoon to Bang Vieng. And I arrived at this place, and once again I didn't find any people there. I just paid the ticket and started climbing, and I reached only three Chinese girls that were going upwards, but of course they weren't going so quickly as me. This Fan Gern viewpoint actually is only a few kilometers outside the center of Bang Vieng, and in order to reach the top, which is 250 meters high, you have to do a demanding climb for about 650 meters, that on average takes about 30 minutes. So it was hard, and although I was tired from the things I had done already and generally these days. But I kept going and going and climbing until I reached the top, which was indeed rewarding, because I could see everywhere around. The sun was still up, and I could see from very far away these limestone cliffs. I could see the fields. It was a really impressive view, and I found also some people there which were very kind and also took me some photos. There were, I think, two Germans and one Swiss guy. So I stayed there. I was very much sweating. I wasn't planning to do anything else this day because the sun would set soon, and I wouldn't be able to do anything else. If I went to another viewpoint, I would have once again to climb all of that, to climb very high, and I didn't know if I had the time. So I stayed there for a while, enjoyed the view, took a lot of photos, relaxed, and started heading downwards, which was of course much easier than heading upwards. And then when the sun was about to set, I was back in the city where I returned the motorbike, and once again I ate, and I roamed for a while around in the bars because it was my last night in Bang Vieng. Another thing that needs to be mentioned about Bang Vieng, which is strange, is uncommon actually, is the fact that there are about five restaurants, let's say, that you can buy from their drugs, and the drugs of several kinds. So these restaurants are selling marijuana, are selling mushrooms, amphetamines, opium, and a few others that they have them in shakes, in teas, and all. And this is something interesting if you think that in Laos in general there are very strict punishments for drug using and drug selling, of course, that can even reach the level of death penalty. But on the other hand, there were a few specific restaurants that had a specific menu where a customer could order anything he wanted from all of these, which is impressive. Laos actually is, as you know, is a communist country, and from what I understand, from what I saw, is that in a totalitarian government such as a communist one, it looks like the system goes that we are very strict with the laws, and there are very severe punishments if you do things. But on the other hand, we have specific areas, specific openings that the government and the police is controlling, and there they can do whatever they want. That's why also there is only one place that is open for 24 hours, although it is although nobody is allowed to open his shop after 12 o'clock. So in a totalitarian government like a communist one, what seems to be happening is that they just want to control, the government has to control wherever they want to break the rules and make an opening to that. And another interesting thing in general in Laos is that you hardly see any policemen. And from what I understood and from what I discussed around, the reason that you don't see any policemen is that the policemen exist, but they are all secret policemen, so they never wear policemen clothes. So policemen are everywhere, but you just don't know it. That they are all secret. And this is very interesting food for thought about the way a communist government is operating. Anyway, that night was nice also going around. As I said, the vibes are nice. I wish I could stay more, because this is the thing about Vang Vieng that I also mentioned before, that it has so many natural places to explore, and they are so close, and it is so easy to go, and you can do so many things. You can climb, you can do canoe, you can trek, you can hike, you can go to viewpoints, you can swim, you can do motorbikes, you can do, there are dirty roads if you like enduro motorbikes. There are so many, there are air balloons, there are so many things for ecotourism that a person even for years staying there maybe is not enough to explore everything that has to offer. And for people like me that we enjoy exploring nature, is exactly what we need. So I think that from what I'm thinking now, Vang Vieng maybe is my favorite place of all in all Laos. All of the places I went were very nice. I enjoyed things in all of them. I liked a lot of things in all of them, but I think specifically for me, maybe Vang Vieng looks like the most suitable place, according to the person, to my character also. Therefore, I think that it's very possible that in the future I will return sometime in Vang Vieng, because I know that there are too many things that I haven't explored, and I am sure they will be nice as well. And even if I go to the same places I went, still I would be very thankful for that. And when I returned, by the way, from this, I also booked a ticket, because the next day I had to leave for Vientiane, where I am now, and I record this podcast, because tomorrow I have to take a plane in order to go to Bangkok, and the day after tomorrow from Bangkok is my flight back to London. So this morning today I woke up and I found Nick, where with some friends of his we went very close to the hotel in a bar that we were sitting next to the river, and actually his friends were also swimming. My ticket was for 4 p.m. I had booked it late, so I stayed with them for a few hours, my last hours in Vang Vieng next to the river. I drank another coffee there, and then we had a very nice chat. I enjoyed the company. Nick is a friend to me, and Actually, I liked so much what he said, because I believe that he really believed that, and he does it in practice. So he said that you arrive as a friend, but when you leave as a family from their guest house, and I think this is really his mentality in practice. I wish I had stayed more. I had a very nice company and it was so nice there, but the plan was like this. The ticket to London I have booked long time ago and I couldn't change anything. So I had a nice time with them, and after some point I left in order to go and take the minivan that would bring me to Vientiane at 4 o'clock. The trip was smooth with the minivan. It wasn't anything. Although once again we did a lot of hours. Now we reached, we did 4 hours and a half, and also we had to take a tuk-tuk from the bus station, because as I have seen here in general in Laos, all the bus stations are far away from the city. So when you take a bus to go somewhere, then you have to unavoidably take a taxi, tuk-tuk I mean, which is these vans that work as a taxi, and you have to pay for this in order to take you to the city. And this might be today in Vientiane, from the north bus station was 10 kilometers. Imagine even that the airport is 5 kilometers. So it was double the distance from the airport. So the bus station is double the distance that is the airport, the international airport. Imagine that. Vientiane is the capital. I haven't stayed here for many hours, as I said. I just went out for 1 or 2 hours, and then returned back to record this podcast. Although it is a capital, I know that it's a very relaxing city. Although it's night, it's Monday night, but I didn't see a lot of people around. Everything seemed very peaceful, and almost everything was closed, which is a little surprising. It's like a small city here, unless I didn't go to a place that the people are gathered during that time, but I don't think so, because my hotel is pretty much in the center. So when I walked around, I think I should have seen something, but I didn't. So I just went, it was there wasn't anything to see at this point. The time is late as well, so I just ate and returned back. I didn't have the time to have many impressions from Vientiane, but everyone has said that there aren't many things to see anyway. And like I said, tomorrow afternoon I'm going to Bangkok, and the day after tomorrow morning I'm flying back to London after passing for a few hours from Bahrain. So that's it for now. I will just make, when I return back, as I said, this is the last podcast officially of this series, but when I return to London, I am planning to make a last episode, which is going to be about my general impressions of this whole month, and do a general recursion about my impressions in Thailand and Laos. So that's it for now. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be here, of course, for episodes of other trips, and apart from my last impressions, and plenty of interesting stuff to share here on my podcasts. Have a good one, and thank you very much. Goodbye.